Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Have you found Psalm 133? I want to look at verse number 1, and we'll read the whole chapter. It's just 3 verses. Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Amen. Hallelujah. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. He's talking about, he's referencing back when Aaron was anointed to be high priest. The oil was put on his head, but it ran down all over his whole being. And he said, it's like that. When we dwell together in unity, it's like the anointing is in manifestation from top to bottom. Verse 3, "As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Praise God. Well, that's all based on verse number 1, when we dwell together in unity. Amen. You know, throughout the New Testament, but I'm referring specifically to Acts. If you go through the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 1, Acts chapter number 2, Acts chapter number 4, Acts chapter number 5, it said it over and over again, and they were in one accord, in one place. That doesn't mean one Honda, you know. Took a moment, but some of you got that. No, that means unity. They were united. They were in one heart, one mind. Praise God. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. See, one accord in one place. It's not just a matter of being in one place. There is not, you know, we come into one place on a regular basis, but that doesn't automatically mean we're in one accord. One accord is a heart thing. Amen. One place is a body thing. In other words, our body can be in one place. All of us come together and physically we're in one place. But one accord is all of us being in one place spiritually. Yes. Amen. So that's what he's referring to. And over in the Acts it says that. But you ever notice over and over in the Acts the power of God was in manifestation? Like, for example, in Acts 2:1, verse 1 says they were, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. What's the next word? Suddenly, boom! Scared you, didn't I? But something happened. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell. Power of God was in manifestation. Now, why did that happen? Because they were in one accord. Remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. There was 120 in the upper room. This was before the Holy Ghost fell. But they were in unity when the Holy Ghost fell, but they were in unity the day before that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hallelujah. So the power of God was in manifestation. And they were all in one accord. They were all there for the same purpose, and they had heart connections, you know. And then Acts 4:24 says they were praying in one accord. Then Acts 5:12 says there were many signs and wonders. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So the reason that there was so much power flowing at the beginning of the book of Acts is because they were in unity. They were in one accord in their hearts. They didn't have 2 different, 3 different, 4 different visions and people going in their hearts 4 or 5 different directions, you know. Well, praise the Lord. Well, that's the key. We're picking up on where we were yesterday because I said, you know, this is a new members weekend. And yesterday we had our class and we had some folks that are interested in becoming new members. And then we had others here. You know, we invited you. You should have come. It was a great class. I know some people have things to do, you know, but, you know, after a while you see patterns. Amen. I'm not angry. You're blessed people. Praise the Lord. I'm just trying to help you. Look at your neighbor and say, he just loves us. He'd like to help us. But some of the things we were sharing yesterday, we talked about how when we come into joining a church, it's more than that. In fact, I don't know if you're in the book of Acts. I guess you're back in the book of Psalms. Let's go back to the 4th chapter of the book of Acts. I referred to this, but let's go and turn to it. I want you to see something else. Over in the fifth chapter, let's start there. Fifth chapter of Acts, look at verse number 12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Everybody say one accord. And look at that. Signs and wonders were the result. Amen. We could share a lot on that. We will. But look at verse 13. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Notice that there was no more just joining the church. If you look at the context from the previous chapters, previous two chapters, actually, the fifth chapter, the entire fifth chapter. Ananias and Sapphira came in and lied to the Holy Spirit. And they fell dead. You know, I think we need to have a little more reverence sometimes about the things of God. I have refused to lay... I'm thinking of one lady down in Lubbock, Texas. We were ministering down there, and I refused to lay hands on her because the Lord showed me something. You know, there's times you just have a witness about something. And then there's times you know that you know that you know. And when you know that you know that you know, you're bold. When you just have a witness, you're like, well, you know, seems like God's saying something to me, but I need to check this out. You know? But in this case, I knew. And I spoke to her, turned the microphone off and spoke to her. I was under one of those stronger healing anointings, and I spoke to her, and everybody in the line was being healed. Every single person was being healed. If the anointing wouldn't go in, I'd turn off my mic and I'd tell them why. And every single person that it went into, except this lady I got to, and the Lord showed me why it wasn't going in. I turned off my mic and I said something to her about it. She denied it. So I just backed away from her and I refused to lay hands on her. You know, because under that stronger anointing, lying to the Holy Ghost. You know, I'd rather not have that kind of thing because we're love people, you know. But sometimes you just have to understand there's things that need to be kept right. Anyway, believers were the more added, verse 14 says, but there was no more joining. The Holy Ghost was joining people. The Holy Ghost was bringing people in, but there was no more just joining the church. If you go back to verse, this is in the fourth chapter now, in the 31st verse, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Assembled is different than joining, apparently. Joining is something man does. Assembly is something God does. Yeah. Assembly is a heart thing. Yeah. Joining is just something man does. And it's not necessarily something of the heart. Joining is just what people do whenever they sign the church roll. You know. But what God's wanting to do, in order to have the power of God like they had in the book of Acts in manifestation, there has to be more than just people joining churches. There has to be divine drawings and a heart connection to those, to the place where we connect up. Amen. We're not just interested in people joining and developing a large crowd. We're looking for unity and we're looking for results and we're looking for fruit. And that's what those that came yesterday, I believe that's what their heart is. Praise the Lord. Now, we want to study this because I want to talk to you about learning to protect the unity of your company. When I say your company, I'm talking about the body of believers that God joins you to and you're connected with and you fellowship with. You know, there are many good churches. We shared this yesterday. And so we won't re-preach that yesterday. You can get the CDs. I think they're out in the bookstore. For those who weren't here, it's $7,500. We'll be nice. No, we'll give them to you for the normal price. But anyway, I'm just having fun. It did kind of grieve my heart a little bit yesterday. Some of you should have been here. Can I say that in love and nobody gets mad at me? I'm not trying to draw a crowd. It's just when pastor says he has something in his heart, I thought more people heard their pastor's voice than did. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know some people have certain things they've got to do. I understand that. How many of you know we understand that? But we just want to share our hearts with you. A lot of times the people that need it most show up. That need at least show up. Anyway, all the rotten tomatoes are... I'm not angry this morning. It's just I'm very happy. My wife's being good to me. A lot of people being good to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I want to share with you about protecting this unity, because we shared yesterday quite extensively with those who had it in their heart to connect up as a member here. And we said this, becoming a member on paper is just making formal what you already have in your heart. It's not something that's a big deal to us or God. It's just the Bible does say to know those who labor among you, and it's our way of getting to know people. Amen. Anybody that's willing to become a member officially, that shows us their hearts. Anybody that's not willing to make it official, that shows us their hearts. Why are they unwilling to be identified? Amen. So, but anyway, it's just making a formal what's already in our hearts. And yesterday we talked quite extensively about that supply and the pastoral ministry and what that is and what that brings into your life and how properly connecting to that will bless you in ways that there's no other way to get that blessing. There's other blessings, of course, but that blessing is through being connected right. And the local church is God's plan for us. Amen. Can you say amen to that? One of, because we have to recognize that, and we're not going to go back and re-preach yesterday. I'd love to bring everybody up to speed, but I just don't have the time to do that. You can get the CD. But one of the things you have to recognize is that making that connection, in fact, the Lord said it to me this way one time. He said, the greatest spiritual warfare you're going to experience in life is going to be around those divine connections. Now, when I say spiritual warfare, what am I talking about? I'm talking about opportunities to get disconnected and offended and to misunderstand people or decisions that were made or whatever, you know, just thoughts telling you to draw back or, you know, fear attacking you, fear of commitment or, you know, so just a lot of those kinds of things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We've probably all been there. Just Satan, he's not going to just lay down and roll over and play dead because you've made disconnection. Go back with me to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter here, and let's notice what this connection will do for us again, real briefly. In the 16th verse, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, from Jesus the head, the context is, from Jesus the head, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Amen. Notice, every joint supplieth. So what we find is, whenever we find where God has joined us, where God's connected us, we find where there's a supply for us. Yes, we all have an individual relationship with Jesus, and we talk to Him, and He talks to us. We understand that. We're not trying to say that everything you get through the church. That wouldn't be scriptural. You understand? But there's something, there's a extra. Read all about it here. There's something, there's more God has for you than what you have between you and Jesus yourself. Well, all I need is Jesus. Well, of course, apparently, Jesus didn't know that because He set these other ministries in the church. You know, maybe we should educate Jesus on what He shouldn't have done. No, that's almost blasphemous, you know. No, He gave us these gifts because He knew we needed them. And then He's given us other members of the body to join fellowship with. We talked about, you know, we're all one body, the body of Christ worldwide. But yet, right on the other hand, we don't know everybody worldwide. We can't go to every church all the time. I mean, there's churches all over the world. How are you going to go to church in China and Asia and, you know, the Philippines? And, you know, there's someplace God has for you. And even within a city, there's someplace God has for you. And that's where God connects you in. And we're not the only good church in town. We understand that. But those of us who God's called here, we recognize, okay, God has something for us here. Where God joins us in is where there's a supply for us. And if we recognize that, we'll have this extra read all about it for us. That's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to read all about it. There's, yes, I tell people there's, you know, the new birth, the Holy Spirit comes into believers. We all, any person that's born again, whether they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not, the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. I've heard people say, well, if you don't have the baptism, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not true. Come on. If they're born again. Yeah. How many of you have met denominational people and all sorts of people who are good Christian people? You know they have the Spirit of God in them. You can just tell. You know, I mean, that'd be wrong doctrine. Scripturally, it's even wrong doctrine. But anyway, then God has an additional offer, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that's not the end. There's an extra, extra. Read all about it. What is it? It's this company of believers that you can jump in the middle of, and what's on them gets on you. Every church has something on them, sometimes good, sometimes bad. You know, you get into certain groups and you get a spirit of unbelief about you. You know, healing's passed away, and Jesus keeps people poor to make them humble. You know, all this defeat and unbelief, you get that on you, you get around that too much. But then there's good things. Paul told the church, he wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, I want you to know of the grace of God that came on the churches of Macedonia. Not only do people have things on them, the Holy Spirit can be on individuals for different things, but then in whole churches can have something on. I want you to know of the grace that came on the churches of Macedonia. And in this case, it had to do with increase, financial increase. 1 Corinthians 8, go read it. Extra, extra, read all about it. I just like that this morning for some reason. But anyway, so we find that there's things that you can get on you if you get in the middle of that. Hallelujah. Over in the Old Testament, an example of it, Saul, who was called to be king. Of course, you know, they figured out who it was, went and looked for him. He's over hiding in the warehouse amongst all the stuff. And so they went and found him. And so he's shy, you know. He didn't know if he wanted to be up in front of people. That's why he's hiding. Well, how are you going to be a leader whenever, well, what do you all want to do? Well, just, you know, you got to stand up and make a decision. You got to step out when people don't understand sometimes and have a prayer life and so forth and so on. But anyway, so he had the call, but he didn't have everything he needed to fulfill that call. So God said, all right, Saul, he said, to Samuel, he said, go. There's going to be some prophets coming off this certain hill, and they're going to be banging a tambourine, playing the harp. Playing a flute or whatever they're playing. In other words, they're singing and enjoying the presence of God. And so he said, get in the middle of that group. Amen. And the Bible said Saul got in the middle of that group and God turned him into another man. Amen. And he got equipment that he didn't have to be king. Praise the Lord. Well, that's what God has for you. Extra, extra, read all about it. Get in the middle of a body of believers. If you need something that they have on you, get in the middle of them. Praise God. In Jesus' hometown, people there couldn't receive healing because of the atmosphere. You see, that town had an atmosphere of unbelief. They knew Jesus after the flesh. We know him. He grew up here, you know. Our sons and daughters grew up with him. And so they didn't know him after the Spirit. They knew him after the flesh. So they didn't receive. The Bible said they were full of unbelief. And he could there do no mighty work. You know, there are people in that town that could have, should have, and would have been healed if they hadn't lived in that town. And there are people sitting in churches coulda, shoulda, and would have been healed if they weren't sitting in that church. Now, don't get upset at me. There's, you know, there's just some places you won't receive healing because you're getting faith to be sick because they're saying, you know, God's teaching you something. Amen. Not trying to be mean to anybody, but just have to recognize that you get unbelief is contagious. Fear is contagious. You ever been around people that they're fearful all the time? Oh, what's going to happen? We don't know what's going to... And before you know it, you're getting a little bit queasy to the stomach. The spiritual things are contagious, so who you hang around is important. Now, along that line, whenever we become joined to a body of believers, Satan's not just going to lean back, sip lemonade, and just let you just walk right into... Ephesians 4:16 here, where you get joined to where there's a supply. He don't want you being joined to where there's a flow from top to bottom, like on the head of Aaron and down to his... He don't want you getting in that flow where the Spirit of God comes all over you. He doesn't want that. So he's not going to lay back and just sip lemonade and rock on the hammock and say, looky, looky, what they're doing. No, you have an enemy that's going to resist you. Amen. Now, go over with me to Matthew chapter number 21, and let's look at something that the Lord had put in my heart about Jesus. He went into the temple one day. Notice what it says here. Chapter 21 of Matthew, verse 12 through verse 14. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. He said, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Now notice that. Jesus had to get some things out of the temple before the Holy Ghost was moving. And to be honest, as a body of believers, as a body that joins together and seeks to be in unity with one another, we seek to be in unity with the whole body of Christ as well, you understand. But there's a joining here and a unity here that's especially important because of how God joined us together as a local church, you know. The thing we're going to have to learn to do is we're going to have to do like Jesus did in order to keep the flow, like in verse 14. We're going to have to be willing to keep some things out. Amen. All of us as a body of, as a company of believers, are going to have to be willing to keep some things out. Amen. Things that would be really bring disunity and disharmony. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. All of us are responsible to do that. Not just the pastor, although the pastor has the main responsibility. If certain things are trying to get in to keep those people away. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, this is not for the faint of heart this morning. I've got three things. When I brought came this morning, I brought three things. I have a bunch of big bags of sheep food. Amen. And then I brought some rope this morning, and I brought some lead. And if you're a sheep, this won't hurt. If you're a goat, we're going to tie you up. And if you're a wolf, I'd run now. Come on. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? Because Jesus had to keep some things out of the temple in order to keep the power flowing in the power of God flowing in the temple. Now I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 here. We're just going to look at a lot of scriptures. We have a lot of ground to cover, but you know, we'll just flow as the Spirit gives us unction here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look with me at we'll start in verse number 10. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Paul was Southern, you all. He must have been Southern Baptist. That you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So he's talking about unity, isn't he? Not allowing divisions among us. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So we find that Paul's addressing the church at Corinth and saying, look, make sure that these divisions are kept out from getting in among you. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. Remember the Bible said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. We want to, when we come together as a body and we are willing to join, not just the natural man thing, but connect. Amen. Plug in, you might say. Amen. Become a vital part of a local body, then jump in and say, I'm in the middle of you. I'm with you.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, not with you so far behind you can't find people. But I mean, you're a vital part of a local assembly. What we find then is that there needs to be a harmonizing among us. There needs to be, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That means agreed means harmonize. Amen. Like music, you know, we harmonize the music. It's not just different chords and different notes when people want to, you know, it's harmony. So that's what we want to do. We want to all be in harmony with one another. Amen. Amen. Well, how can we do that? We're all individuals. We all have different backgrounds, you know, and this is America. We're individual. We emphasize the individual. Isn't that kind of where it's going in America? Individualism or whatever. But you see, there's only one way to keep harmony, and that is to all have one thing in common, and that is going to be, in our case, the Bible, the Word of God.
Amen.
So we're all going to have to point to it as our highest authority. Yes, we all might have some opinions, but that's not really what matters. What matters is what the Bible says, and we're joining and connecting around the truths of God's Word. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, when we endeavor to make that unity, like I said, Satan's always trying to break that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He hates unity. You can just mark it down, mark it down. God is a God of unity. Satan is a being of division. He loves division. He loves chaos. He loves disunity. He loves contention and disagreements and arguments and things like that. He thrives in places like that. Remember, the Bible says where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. You understand that? So that opens the door to the devil. But God's a God of unity. He wants us to be united. And that is going to produce a corporate house for the Spirit of God to have His way. Now, I don't have time to get into this a whole lot, but I know of a minister. Some of you might have heard him say this. A well-known, internationally known minister. He said this. He said, whenever we first got started in our church, he said, we had tremendous moves of the Spirit. Tremendous moves of the Spirit. Tremendous miracles. And he said, as we grew larger and larger, he said, we started having less and less manifestations of the Spirit. And he said, I went to the Lord and asked Him why. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, whenever you first started out, he said, a vast majority of those that called that church, your church home, were tithers. He said, now a vast majority of them aren't.
Wow. Wow. Come on.
Amen. Well, see, they weren't really in unity. Their hearts were not really there. Hello? How can you tell? Well, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there's where your heart is also. You know, we all smile, but that doesn't mean that that's what's going on the inside. You can smile and not be in unity in your heart. Hello? Praise the Lord for the truth. We don't want to just salve these things over. It doesn't help us to just kind of forget about this and act like it's not so. Amen. Now, why are some people contentious? Some people are just contentious because they grew up in that. That's the way things were conducted in their house. If you want to say something, you have to say it over top of somebody else because they're not going to let you say anything unless you get louder than they are. You know? And so that's sort of the way they operate. And, you know, that's just, they say, well, that's just my personality. Well, let me assure you, it might be your personality, but let me assure you, it's not the will of God for you to be contentious. Amen. Amen. God wants you to be, say things in ways that brings unity, not division. Amen. Sometimes people are quarrelsome. And they just act like that's part of the way their makeup is. But really, they're not just, it's not their personality. It's cantankerous and quarrelsome. You remember, you just write this down, Proverbs 26, verse number 20. It says, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So that's another reason there's contention in churches sometimes is because people are, now we, King James says talebearer, but we have another word today, gossip. Gossip. Have you heard? You know? Well, he said, where that happens, there's going to be strife. But where that stopped, he said, where the gossip is stopped, then there's not going to be any division in that body of people. Can you say amen to that? So that's another reason contention gets in. Amen. Y'all still out there? You're going home. That has killed more churches. That has killed the anointing in more churches. People talking about one another. Amen. So we need to recognize strife and quarrelsomeness and gossip and things like that for what it is. And you need to recognize joining up with the body of believers. If you have this in your heart to connect, then you have to recognize that the enemy is going to try to get in. And you have to recognize the strategy of the enemy. The Bible said, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. So we're not ignorant. Praise the Lord. Now, what happens is Satan endeavors to get people talking and criticizing or giving opinions or forming, you know, causing strife, gossiping. And he does that in order to poison the hearts and minds of others in that body and in that company. He wants to plant poisonous seeds of division. And then he'll try to keep watering it, get it to grow, and eventually division will take place. Amen. It can be through harboring unforgiveness or through, jealousy. I didn't get to sing on the platform or whatever, you know, could be 1,000 things. And just that thing gets in our hearts. We have to guard our hearts. And sometimes the enemy, we have to recognize division for what it is. Division and things like offense and things like that are not the result of personality conflicts. We understand that there is that level of things, but really the real root of all of this is really very demonic. And throughout the Bible, God made sure that those in leadership were instructed on how to deal with these things, because the source of it is the enemy, and Satan wants to divide bodies of believers. Amen. Now go over to Romans, the 16th chapter, and let's notice a verse that will help us understand this a little better. You won't see any of this on any bumper stickers. And maybe rightly so, you know. You know, this isn't necessarily to go out there and tell the world. This is for us as maturing members of a local body. This is food for us. Notice here in Romans chapter number 16. And let's start in verse number 17. Like I said, not something we hear every week. And we don't necessarily need to hear it every week. We just need to be reminded of it, you know. Look here, Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Amen. Well, notice he said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Well, I think one thing, you know, this could include the whole counsel of God's word, the Bible, the teachings of God's word, so forth. But when he says doctrines, I think that something that we could even hone in on more specifically would be the doctrine of unity. Mark those, which cause divisions and strifes and contentions contrary to the doctrine of unity. In other words, those who would seek to divide and bring contention into the body. Amen. He said we're to mark them. Now that doesn't mean have them stand up and say, you right there, everybody look, they're a wolf. No, that's not how. Notice what he said. We'll get it corrected here. How does he mean this? Mark them. Mark them just simply means make note of who they are. Amen. Now, why are we making note of who they are? You know, just in your own heart and mind. I heard them talking about that and quarreling. Make note of it. And I'm not just talking about a one-time thing. There's certain people that when something goes around, it's always them that it goes around through. I'm not thinking of anybody particularly right now, you understand. I'm just, you know, and let me say something before. Maybe I'll get better unction if I just clarify something. Right. No, nothing going on right now.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about? There, I felt it. Okay. Woo! Woo! But you see, the Holy Ghost will get us ready for things to come.
Amen.
He'll always have us ready.
Amen.
Amen. I do know certain people have trouble with certain things, but they're not talking about it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's to be commendable.
Amen.
Praise God. I appreciate that. You know, and by the way, whenever something is going on, the person to talk to is not somebody else. It's the person that you're having problems with. For those of you that are making a decision about connecting with Spirit of Faith and making it your church home officially, you know. Some of you have really already done it in your heart, but officially. The way we do things here is, if you're having trouble in some area, go to the person that you're having trouble with. If you're working in a department and you're having trouble with somebody in that department, go to your superior in that department. And that is divine order. That's not division. That's not contention. That's just simply keeping things. Because, see, they have the authority to do something about it. But going to somebody who doesn't have the authority to do anything about it is called strife. And opening the door for division. You know, if I have a problem with you, I should go to you. If I have a problem with Matt, I shouldn't go to Leanne. Or if he has a problem with me, he shouldn't go to Leanne. He should come to me. You know, I think it's a wrong heart to go to somebody else. If I'm having problems with Matt, he's a blessing, you understand. But if I'm having problems with him, I shouldn't go over here and talk to Linda. There's something about my heart that's not right. See, I'm wanting to spread it or something.
Yes, that's right. Come on. Yeah.
And that's causing division. No, go to the one that we're having trouble with. Or go to leadership that's in that department, you know, and they'll help you because they have the authority there and they can do something about it. But he said, mark them. That just simply means make a note of who it is that's causing division. And here's the reason why we do it. Notice, avoid them. Yeah. What? Well, that can't be the love of God. Well, yeah, it can. It can be the love of God for everybody else in the church. Because you're not opening everybody else up to that split, to that division. And you're not, and it's walking in love with your pastor, because that keeps him from having all that trouble. And we'll talk more about this as we go. Amen. The goal is to totally isolate strife, quarrelsomeness, division, and all those things that somebody might be carrying in their heart. Totally isolate them. It's like certain diseases, your white blood cells, is it, I believe, will just totally encapsulate it. It'll surround it and totally say, hey, come with us. You know? And that's the way it ought to be. It's people that want to cause divisions ought to be find themselves on the outside. Nobody will listen to them. Nobody will lend them their ear. Nobody will say, really? Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Well, I need to tell so-and-so. You know, if we don't listen to it and we don't give ear to it, then the person finds themselves totally isolated. And the disease can't spread. Can you say amen? So we should isolate the wolf. Amen. Now, the only right way to really avoid them is not to just avoid them. You should go and talk to them about why you're going to have to break fellowship. You're going to have to talk to them. And you're going to say, listen, out of my desire, because remember Galatians chapter number 6, I believe it is, the Bible says, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now notice what the goal is, to restore. To restore. So really, the heart ought to be to get that unity back with somebody. And we'll talk more about this as we go here. But the goal is to restore. So really, the best thing to do is go to them and say, listen, there's something affecting our relationship. You've been calling me on the phone and you've had things to say about your department head or my department head or the pastor or somebody else in the church. And this is really hindering my ability to fellowship and talk with you on the phone.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
I'd like to talk to you about it because this is an open door for the enemy here. Have you gone and talked to that person and, you know, encourage them? See, your goal is to restore the fellowship. It could be the person just didn't realize that they were yielding to the enemy and they're like, oh my goodness, yeah, I guess I'm sorry. You know, it could be that they could be restored. That's the goal. We get them restored. But if they're not willing to do that, the thing that you need to do is you need to form a protection from them. Begin to form a safety for the church. See, you need those who God's joined you to more than you need the enemy coming through them. And you need to learn who to be loyal to. Did God connect you? Okay, yes, God brought me here to bring a supply. Every joint supply. He spoke to our hearts. We know. Well, then be loyal to that. And those who try to pull you out of that, then you recognize that they're somebody you can't be loyal to. Yeah, but they're my friend. Well, like has been said, that's not forever.
Come on, that's right.
They've been nice to me. Not if they're doing that. Not if they're trying to pull you from where God's joined you to. Where you got healed and where your marriage was restored. And it's amazing how people forget. You know? Amen. So you need to talk to them. You need to say, listen, this is affecting our relationship. Amen. And this is pulling me away from, you're tugging on my heart away from where God spoke to us to join up. Amen. Now, how many of you know if God connected you somewhere, there are times that will change in our lives. Things change sometimes and God moves us on. But what I've learned is most people don't recognize that they think they're being led by the Spirit. When actually, whenever they think God's leading them on, it's interesting how that they can't just go ahead and go and be silent about it. They have to try to drag other people with them. That's not God leading. That's offense. Because offense needs validation. Offense can't stand on its own. It needs somebody else to validate. That's right. They aren't right. They did you wrong. Oh, how dare they talk to you like that? How dare they correct you and say, how dare that department head, who do they think they are to say, no, do it this way? Oh, my. No, see? Offense feeds on that. That's validation. That's right. Are you there? You're going home. Praise the Lord. So you have to talk to people and say, listen, this is something, this is affecting me. And it could open the door to the enemy in my life, and I have to talk to you about this. Confrontation is not a bad thing all the time. There's right ways and wrong ways to do it. Confrontation doesn't have to be an argument. It just has to be you talk to the person and say, listen, this is affecting me. You know, I can see how Satan's trying to get into your life. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now notice here he said to mark them and to avoid them. There's going to have to be, all of our lives, there's some people that were blessed by them being in our lives. There's some people that were blessed by them leaving our life. Yeah. And the Bible says that. Did you know the Bible talks about that? Let's look at some scriptures. You want to look at any of these? You still out there? Have you already been swamped? Amen? All right, now let's go to the book of Proverbs. Well, let me just quote some of them. How many of you, that'd save us some time? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. In other words, it'll get on you. So you have to, you can't be around certain things, it'll get on you. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners or good character. Amen. Now, in Numbers 16, 26, let's turn to this one. Numbers 16, 26. Everybody still out there?
Yes,
we got a slow start this morning. We're getting our utterance here. Number 16, verse number 26. Now, this is the rebellion of Korah. It's called the rebellion of Korah. You remember Korah was somebody who rose up against Moses and said, well, you know, God's going to use us too. But God had put Moses in charge. Now, in the 16th chapter, in the verse 26, you remember that the earth swallowed these people up eventually. But here in the 26th verse, notice what it says. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. In other words, he said, get away from them. Get away from them. Well, they did, and by the time they got away, the earth went, and they were swallowed up. Aren't you glad for the New Testament? Do you know in the New Testament, judgment comes a lot slower? I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but it will eventually come. And so you need to stay away from certain folks. Now, look over with me at 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. See, this is a side of things sometimes we don't hear teaching a lot about, but we need, I believe, a vast majority of people in the congregation are sheep. I really do. I believe a vast majority of people are sheep. Everybody say, that's me. But, But we have to recognize, got some comedians over here. We have to recognize that we can't just always try to be lovey-dovey-dovey and, oh, we're trying to help them. Well, yeah, we understand. But there comes a place where you have to separate.
Yes, come on.
Now, I'm not just talking about every little thing. Somebody said, whoa, that doesn't sound quite right. I can't fellowship with you. I'm not talking about living in the emotional realm or the carnal realm, you know. I'm talking about things you're starting to see something set in somebody's heart. You know, and it's becoming an issue regularly. You understand? You can tell when things are starting to get in. Now, whenever you do this, by the way, when you start to say and you start talk to them and you try to work with them and try to say, listen, I'd like to, you know, point this out. It's affecting our relationship. They will sometimes, because if you talk to them about how I really can't fellowship with this, I want fellowship with you, but I can't fellowship with that. They'll sometimes accuse you of not walking in love.
Hello. Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
and they'll accuse you of breaking fellowship. But you have to keep this in mind. You're not the one breaking the fellowship. They're the one breaking the fellowship. By what they're doing, they're the one breaking the fellowship. Don't let them tell you, oh, you're not walking in love, you're breaking fellowship. Well, how about walking in love with the people that are helping you and the people that God connected you to?
Amen.
See, walking in love, we get kind of funny thinking about it sometimes. Sometimes you have to love from a distance. You know, don't be unsuspecting when somebody calls you on the phone with a concern in their voice and, you know, I'm really concerned about you down there at your church. Wait a minute. I thought I saw you there last Sunday. Your church? Isn't it your church too? You know what I'm talking about? Notice here he said, well, we pulled Romans 16 there. We got away from it. He said that mark them and avoid them, for they will take in the simple. That doesn't mean simple like less intelligence. It means unsuspecting. In fact, the Amplified says that. Some of us are real naive, and we want to believe everybody's just angels in the church. And I don't see anybody except angels this morning, but there could be one slip in that's not.
Right.
Are we all still here? And you have to not just, oh, I can't believe so-and-so isn't right. You have to not be so unsuspecting if somebody turns out to be somebody that's causing division.
Yes.
Don't be naive when you get the phone call that says, I'm concerned about you and your church. And know what it is. Don't be naive and unsuspecting. Easily taken in. And, oh, really? Well, I didn't know. Wow. What else do you know? Hello? Have you found 2 Thessalonians? Look at verse number 6. It says here in, let's see, did I tell you which chapter? Chapter 3. Verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, that's not necessarily an option, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the 20th century New Testament says, avoid any brother who is living an ill-ordered life.
Yeah.
Mark them and avoid them. Disorderly life. Now over in the 14th verse, let's read 14th and 15th. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, and that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Amplified says, warn him as a brother. Now really what this is doing exactly what Jesus said, if your brother offends you, go to him. And if he hears you, great. You've won the fellowship back with your brother. If he doesn't go, if he doesn't hear you, take somebody else with you.
Right. Come on.
And it has to be somebody spiritual, by the way.
Right.
Remember, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Now, why would it have to be somebody spiritual? The reason it has to be somebody spiritual is if you're young in spiritual things, you can get sucked into the offense.
Right.
You are there, you're going home. Well, how can I tell if I'm spiritual or not? If you got sucked into the offense, you're not spiritual. And if you can't talk to them without being sucked in, then you can't talk to them. You have to take somebody else. And then the Bible says if that doesn't work, then take it to the church. That's what Jesus said. How many of you know Jesus said that? To go to them. Doesn't mean just avoid them. It's go to them and say, listen, there's something here affecting our fellowship. Notice he said here, have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as his brother. We're not saying, you know, treat him like an enemy or anything. You can say hi to him in church. It's just that you can't take their phone call anymore. Because every time the phone call comes, it's oh, I'm concerned, you know. And it starts out that way with concern, you know. And you have to just, you can say hi and everything, be cordial. I'm not, you know, how many of you know we need to get mature about this and not be, oh, I can't see you. Oh, there they come. Oh, you know, that's weird. You just can't stand around and share heart to heart because of what's in their hearts. Amen. How many of you know there's a difference? When we say avoid, that doesn't mean you can't see them, you can't talk to them or whatever, say hi to them, how you doing or whatever. It just simply means you can't allow them to speak into your life. You can't open up your heart to them. And you can do that without being in strife or violating any of the laws of love. See, the laws of fellowship and the laws of love don't contradict one another. Y'all there? So he says, mark them and avoid them. Treat him not as an enemy, admonish him as a brother. Well, glory to God. The other verse there in Romans said, mark that man if a man caused divisions and avoid him. That's interesting. How many of you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now let's go back here and let's learn something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Like I said, these are not verses necessarily we hear a lot about, but these are all of this is to protect the unity of a fellowship. That's the purpose of it. It's not, and to keep the power of God flowing where miracles will keep happening. We don't want to just open the door to any old spirit here. Critical spirit, divisive spirit, or any of that. We want everybody to be, you know, kind and in unity with one another. That's what God wants. Look here in 1 Corinthians 5. Let's start in verse number 1. This is a lengthy passage, but we'll read right through it real quick. It's reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife, probably his mother-in-law. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Now I want you to underline a few things there in that verse 2, taken away from among you. Did you get that? Verse 3, for I verily, as absent in body and present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? That's what the whole point is. Now underline that. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. In other words, you just let a little bit of this in, it'll spread. That's the point. This has to be dealt with because it's a disease. It'll spread. And you have to deal with it quickly. You can't just let it around. You have to deal with it. And Paul's dealing with it pretty straight here. In this case, it's a man's sin, but later, as we'll see, he's not just saying people living in sexual sin. Right. Look here in verse number 6 again. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Mm-hmm. Underline that. Yeah. See, we miss these verses. Yeah. We hear about love, but we don't see that this is another side of love. This is love for the people God's joined you to. Yeah. Love for the leadership. Yeah. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. There's a whole truth there. Our teaching is just marvelous, but we don't have time to get into it. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven. He's talking about sin there. Leaven is a reference to sin. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Underline that. Underline that. Not to company. See, we've talked about company here in this class. He said, not to company, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. He's saying, I'm not just saying people out in the world. You wouldn't be able to live in the world if you can't, you know, work together as a company that somebody's fornicating, you know. Hello? But now I've written unto you not to keep company. Underline that. See, it keeps coming up. Not to keep company. He's talking about don't go to dinner and share your heart and listen to their heart. Amen. Don't go over to their house and help them paint their house. Come on. Amen. Not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or a railer. Oh my, look at that. The railer. Amplified says a railer is a person who has a foul tongue, railing, abusive, reviling, slandering. So he's not just talking about this man should be separated from the company. He's talking about people who have this slandering, abusive kind of. You know, they're always finding fault and division. They're creating divisions. In other words, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. Underline that. Are you underlining some of these? So notice, with such a one, know not to eat. That's another thing he's talking about. Don't fellowship with them. Doesn't mean you can't see them or anything. Just means you can't sit around and open your heart up. Amen. I remember one time years ago, we first got here to pastor. It wasn't long. I'd say a year or two after being here, first getting here. We were trying to go get to know some of the people, and we went to... We went into the restaurant, and we saw this couple from the church at the restaurant. So we went over there, and we sat down and talked to them. I mean, it wasn't 5 minutes. This lady opened her mouth, and out comes all kinds of criticism and stuff.
Wow.
And she stopped, and she said, "Well, I'm sorry, I don't usually talk like this." I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, right.
Yeah, come on.
And it wasn't, she'd stop for a while, and 10 minutes later, there she is talking critical and really divisive again and everything. And so we left that day, and we thought, I think the Lord just wanted us to hear that.
Yeah.
And I said, "Lord, what was that?" He said, "The anointing on you exposed it." And she couldn't keep from saying it because that's what's in her heart. Well, you know, of course, that didn't last long. They found a place to leave, an exit door. You know, they said it was something else, but, you know, there was stuff in their hearts. With no not one such to eat. Verse 12, "What have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not judge them that are within. But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person." Underline that. Put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That's a whole lot of verses that talk about not to company with people that have division in their heart. And, you know, we need to reach out to people. How many of you know this is not talking about baby Christians? I have to clarify that because people will misunderstand. Yeah. This is not baby Christians who are still, you know, bound with sin and haven't come out and learned, gotten the truth, you know. I mean, God will go 400 miles down a muddy road to help people like that.
Amen.
We're talking about people who know better here.
Amen.
We have to qualify. Not talking about baby Christians. How else would you reach baby Christians if you don't just work with people? See, a lot of times they don't want to do it. They just don't know any better. But we're talking about people who know better. Who know what they're doing. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So put away from among yourselves that wicked person. What do we find here? We find a whole lot of verses that says you need the supply of the company more than you need the devil working through them.
Yeah.
That's what all this is about. Don't make me... Here's what he's saying. When people are bringing division to your ears, tell them, don't make me choose between you and Jesus. Don't do that to yourself. Because you're making me choose between Jesus and you.
That's good, Pastor.
And this is no hard choice for me.
Right.
I don't want it to have to be a choice I have to make. But you're forcing me to make a choice between you or Jesus. Amen? See, they are a person who is not safe. They are not protecting what God has joined you to. Amen? When they broke fellowship with the body, and now they got a heart full of criticism and they're speaking it, they are going to have to be isolated. They're going to have to be like a diseased person. They got to be quarantined. They got to be kept away. They have to be kept on the outside. Nobody will listen to them. Amen. And they broke fellowship with the body. And because they broke fellowship with the body and broke fellowship with the leadership of the body, they now are no longer able to have the blessings of the body. Now go back here. We read starting in chapter 5 this here 1 Corinthians passage. But notice back here, let me see if I can find this. Go back to the book. 2 Corinthians is where I want you to go real quickly here. We've got something in the second chapter we want you to see about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 6. Paul brings up, because actually what happened was they did what Paul said, and he brings this up again in the book of 2 Corinthians and mentions that this, because this man had repented. He had realized that, listen, I'm losing everything I have. And so I'm going to repent. And he did. And Paul said, listen, you need to restore him. Let him come back into the fellowship.
Yes.
Notice what he calls it here in verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that, quote, contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up in overmuch sorrow. And if you read the rest of this, he's talking about this man that had gotten into sin. And they had said, listen, we can't fellowship with this. We can't have this in our fellowship. See, this is just living openly in sin and wanting everybody to say, okay, that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
So notice what it called it. Punishment.
Yeah.
penalty. Amen. To take something of value, in other words, as an admonishment and as a rebuke. Something of value was taken away from this man. That's part of don't company with these individuals. They want to. They, every time you get around them, the strife comes out. Then you cannot. You have to take something from them that they value, and that is your fellowship. They cannot. They cannot come against the leadership of the house and still have the blessing of the house. You do the same thing. If your son gets to be a big strapping teenager and he wants to break all your rules, he wants to stay out later than your curfew, he wants to bring all his druggy friends into your house and let them in your house, in his bedroom, smoke weed and watch your big screen TV, sleep on the bed you paid for and eat the food that you paid for, you might say something like this. Listen, if that's the way you want it to be, okay, but not here and not in this house. You can't watch my watch my big screen TV and eat my food that I bought and I paid for and sleep on my bed. Isn't that right? You're going to have something like that, and that's what the Bible's telling us to do here. You cannot have you cannot come against the authority of the house and have the blessing of the house. Amen. Out of love for the whole body, I've got to separate. Well, they'll find themselves outside after a while. You know, won't have anybody to pray for them whenever they're in need. Amen. Amen. When the person offended won't repent, he has to be separated from the company, and that includes losing the blessing of your fellowship. Amen. Amen. When they reject the authority, they reject the blessing. Praise God. It's the same in a local church. Same way it has to be in a local church. Look at the person beside you and say, it's all true. What is this all about? It's all about protecting and keeping the leaven from spreading. If you're joining as a body, as to this local body, you have to understand this is part of what you will need to do to keep the unity of the house. We're asking you, we're inviting you, we welcome you to join in. But you have some responsibilities with us to help us. So you see what we're doing this morning? We're just asking you to be aware of your responsibilities. The Bible says that God, what concord has Christ with Belial? If God won't fellowship with wrong spirits, why should we? Isn't that right? If he won't just sit around and fellowship with it, we should just not sit around and fellowship with it. We're laborers together with God in helping these individuals recognize the danger that they're in. Praise God. I'm almost done. Y'all still out there? Learn to be a protector of the ones God's using to bring the blessing into your life. Not be a protector of the offended one. I so appreciate certain ones in the congregation. I'm thinking of one individual right now. You go to them, and I know this. They've done this over and over again, and it makes people that are offended mad. But this individual, you go to them, and you say something, you know, about somebody in leadership or pastor or something that is critical and it's divisive. Yeah. First of all, they didn't come to me. They went to somebody else. Yeah. Amen. People have a hard time going to the right person sometimes. But and sometimes, you know, people think, well, what are they going to do? Well, we're just going to endeavor to love you and reach out to you, but we're not going to candy coat what's going on, you know. But this individual tells them right up, everything you tell me, I'm going right after this conversation, I'm going right to Pastor and I'm going to tell him what you said. It makes them mad. But see, what he has done is he has learned to be loyal to the one God brought into his life rather than loyal to the offender. Amen. What spirit do we have here when somebody's protecting the offender against the one that's bringing good things into their life? Disloyal to leadership, but protecting the offender to be disloyal. See, you're getting sucked in. Can you see what's happening? You're getting sucked in. Amen. You need to know who to be loyal to. And people aren't just born knowing these things. They have to be taught knowing these things, especially when it comes to a local church. Have fellowship. You need the fellowship of the people of God more than you need the fellowship of those who are offended. Stand in love, but stand up to the spirit that's trying to operate through them. Not being mean or anything, just don't let it in. And tell them you can't let it in.
Amen.
Tell them you can't pick up the disease.
Yes.
That you can't afford to pick up that disease.
Yes.
Proverbs 6:19, the Lord hates the sowing of discord among the brethren.
Yes.
Proverbs 6:19. He hates this. If he hates it, we need to develop the level of hatred that he has, not for the people, but for the spirit behind it. Amen?
Amen?
God tells us to separate. Even if they've been nice, even if they've been a friend, they have now separated themselves. See, value spiritual relationships above natural relationships. Natural relationships, we thank God for them if they're available. But spiritual things are much more important than those kinds of relationships. Amen? So we have to recognize where to draw the line on these things. Don't keep the violator and the offended safe. Keep leadership safe.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
If you've gotten received from God and there's a supply here, God's joined you here, recognize there's going to be a strategy of the enemy. He doesn't roll over and say, oh, look what they're doing. They're getting connected. He's gonna come.
That's right.
We're not ignorant of that. Amen. So if someone is wrong-spirited, God will allow them. You have to recognize this, and I want to say this to finish this up. If somebody's wrong-spirited, you have to recognize that this is the way God does things. He'll allow them to stay in a congregation for a while because God wants to help them.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And so if you see things that, well, pastor didn't just deal with that right away, we might be just giving the word time to get in.
Yeah.
Because God wants to help them. God will let people stay for a while, even if they're causing a little bit of trouble, but God's just not saying to us really to deal with it strong yet.
Amen.
Amen. He'll allow them to stay here long enough to hear the word and get free.
Amen.
And to make some adjustments. How many of you, it took you time? I'll raise both hands and both feet to make some adjustments in my life. Aren't you glad somebody waited on you? Oh, my goodness. So God will give people time to get things right. And that's our heart. Do you understand our heart this morning? That's our heart as well. We want to help people. But whenever there's always a time, and you have to pray a lot about these things, because without knowing what the Spirit of God is saying, sometimes you'll jump on it before the Spirit of God says deal with it. But there's a time God will give people space to repent. There's a term in the book of Revelation, space to repent. I gave them space to repent. God will give people time. Sometimes you can't afford to let it go very long because they're really spreading stuff.
Right.
Well, Pastor Debbie and I deal with this in the spirit more than we deal with it in the natural.
Yeah.
We'll get into the spirit and pray and deal with the spirit operating through the person.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
But if the person doesn't want to be free, eventually they'll make known whether or not they want to be free or not, because whenever someone does address them, they'll respond one way or another, and then maybe somebody else is addressing them and they respond one way or another. Now you're finding out whether they really want to be free or not. You understand? Whenever it comes to the place it becomes obvious that they do not want to be free, then God will remove them. And the Spirit of God will remove them. And I don't mind removing them myself.
Amen.
If I have to. I'd rather deal with it in the Spirit, but if I have to. We've had people here. I remember somebody standing right back in that corner one time, mad and angry. And they had been doing this for month after month after month. Mad and angry at somebody else here in the church. Finally, we said, that's it.
Come on.
Don't come into this building anymore.
Amen.
Don't come to this church anymore.
Amen.
Somebody said, that's me. No, that's love for everybody else here.
You.
Because you can feel the spirit coming into the room whenever they were mad and they were yelling and using their voice at high tone, you know, and all that.
Come on.
Well, you can just feel the Spirit of God leaving. And,
yeah.
I mean, the joy of the Lord and the peace and the unity in the room just started going out the wind, out the doors, you know.
Yeah.
Y'all there, you're going home. So eventually we had to remove them. Amen. I hear now they've gotten some things changed, but we thank God for that. But they have to find another place to get some help.
Amen.
Amen. So God will remove them. And here's the thing. We want God to do that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We're okay with that.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We're okay with that.
Yes,
I want a clean church.
Yes.
Now that doesn't mean everybody has to be perfect, because I'd have to be the first one to leave.
Yes.
But how many of you know you can make mistakes, but your heart's right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's two kinds of people. There's people that make the mistake, but their heart is right.
Yeah.
Then you got people that their heart's wrong, but they look good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to know people after the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
How many of you have made mistakes, but your heart was right?
Yes, come on.
Maybe it wasn't right, and then you got it right. Praise the Lord, you know. Praise the Lord. We thank God for His mercy, but there comes a time. If God calls us to deal with things, we have to deal with things. And sometimes people will say, well, God's leading me out. Well, I noticed that you couldn't leave without trying to drag others out with you. If God's leading you, you ought to be big enough to do it on your own. With the lip zipped. Haven't seen you for, see him in the grocery store. Haven't seen you for a while. Yeah, I'll just you know, praise the Lord. You know, rather than talk bad about Leanne did this or whatever. They just try to avoid the subject or something like that. If God let them out, then they're big enough to do that. But see, most of this stuff is offense, so they can't. They open their mouth wide and God doesn't fill it, the devil fills it. Did you get anything out of this?
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.